How's everybody doing this morning? Look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm glad you're here. That was not as strong as it could have been. Look at your neighbor and ask them, are you all right? Are you all right?
We good.
Today, 7 years as a church. Come on, can we clap our hands for that? And I think if we're going to thank anybody for 7 great years as a church, the person to thank is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Come on, let's thank Jesus today. I might make you clap a lot, so don't get too comfortable. Jesus, thank God that he had a plan for this thing. Somebody was starting to sing just now. Also, I have to give a massive shout out to our dream team, because they are the ones that have been making the dream possible now ever since we started, even before we started. Go ahead and clap. I can tell you that. Every year, whenever we have these services, I still have these moments of, I can't believe this thing worked. Seriously, man. And then you see people serving, you see people doing things, and it just really is a blessing, because when we moved here, we didn't know anyone.
Right.
And we've made a lot of great friends, and just love the city, love our church, and love all the people that God has brought into our lives. And still, it's some pinch me moments, you know what I'm saying? Like, is this real? And this morning, even up on stage playing music, just looking out, just seeing people, it's like, man, these are some good people out here, man. Jesus, thank you for bringing us some good people. So I want you to clap for yourself. 7 years, 217 people have given their life to Jesus. Now this is what's important. Yo, you can clap for that.
Yeah.
This is what's so crazy about that. That's how many people just turned in the cards.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many hundreds more that have lifted their hands and just didn't feel like filling out the card, but that have given their life to Jesus. Countless recommitments to Christ. And I think, hey, this is what we came and started this church for, was so that people can give their lives to Jesus.
Yes.
And if we're going to celebrate anything today, it should be every single person that gave their life to Jesus at Emerge Church from the beginning. So I think we should put our hands together for that. Amen?
Amen.
That's worth shouting for.
Yeah.
Amen? 87 people have been water baptized.
Oh,
come on, somebody. In a couple weeks, some more people are going to be baptized.
Yeah.
And this year, a lot of people are going to be baptized. Amen. Because we're going to reach a lot of people this year. And I'm just excited about what God is doing. I have a lot of stats and stuff I want to tell you about what God has been doing at Emerge. This week, I'm going to tell you some. Next week, I'm going to tell you the rest. Next week, you should make sure that you're here. I know it's like, what, President's Day, that we're off of school, and I know how people are. They take a trip for anything. Like if the weather changed, oh, we got to go to Disney. You know what I'm saying? But I would encourage you to be here next Sunday, because we're going to share some things with you. But I do want to give you a quick update, because we belong to an organization called ARC, the Association of Related Churches. And in 2018, our church, Emerge Church, helped ARC plant over 76 churches.
Yes.
Throughout the world. Come on, that's awesome.
Yeah.
76 churches. In fact, ARC planted its 809th church this past year. And we're already off to a good start for 2019. 35 new churches have been planted so far in 2019. And Emerge Church, we are helping ARC do that. We are helping these churches. I don't know if you guys remember Pastor Drew a few months ago. He came and spoke to us, and we said that we were going to help them out with their launch. They launched on January the 27th, and they had 544 people at their opening service in a movie theater. Where's the popcorn? 24 people gave their lives to Jesus in that service. And I need you to know, that's not just what they're doing, that's what you are doing. You have a part in all of these church plants. You have a part in all these people giving their lives to Jesus. Listen, our church isn't just one person doing it. It is us. Look at your neighbor and say, you're doing something, man.
Yes.
You are doing something. And I'm just so thankful that you guys have been just a big part of our church, and has helped us to do some things that we never ever thought we could do. In fact, did you know that this year we had our highest attendance ever on Easter Sunday. It was 399 people. Yes. Who wants to be 400?
Right.
Let's just throw it in here so we can say 400. There was somebody missed. There was somebody walking on the other side. There were 400 here on Easter Sunday. And so that's always an awesome thing. And I think there were 9 people that gave their life to Jesus. And so there's a lot of great things have been happening. Again, next week, I'm going to share a lot of this stuff about what God has done and where we're going. Today, what I wanted to do, though, is this. Because in the course of a church, in the course of church life, and all that we're doing, sometimes it's very easy to forget who we are. You know what I'm saying? You ever thought about, and I see this happen in families, I see this happen in marriages, I see this happen even with parents. We get so in our routine of doing all the things that we're doing that we forget who we are. And a lot of times people say, I just need to take some time to find myself. You know what I'm saying? Even for a few minutes, just leave me alone. And so today, what I thought I would do is I want to show you a picture in Scripture of who we are. Who is Emerge Church? And I thought it would be best to use Scripture to describe who we are, because Scripture is authoritative, and people tend to believe Scripture a lot more than they believe people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I like how you said that. Amen. Put a little slant on it. So I want us to go to Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. Acts 3, verse 1 through 11. If you missed last week, you should go back and listen to the podcast and hear what we shared about last week, because last week we really talked about what the church is all about, and we talked about growing bigger than ourselves. In other words, it cannot just be about me, but God has set this thing up for me to grow bigger than myself. And if we're going to live out the plans that God has for us, we've got to grow beyond ourselves. So today, what I want to talk about is who we are as a church. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. We're going to read a little bit today, but y'all can hang. Am I right? You can hang if we read a little bit. It's going to be on the screen. You can follow right along. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. And each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he can beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you." He was broke like a joke. How many of you know the feeling?
Yeah.
You should go to the finance class on Tuesday night. You know what I'm saying? We will help you with that. He said, "I have no silver or gold for you. But watch this. But I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This blows my mind that he's brought to the temple every day, but he never actually goes in. That blows my mind. But this day, he's going into the temple with him, and all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and to John. I love this story. We're going to use this story today to talk about who we are. Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you for 7 great years. But Father, this isn't it. This is just the beginning of what you plan to do, not just in the organization of Emerge Church, but in the lives of every single person that is in this room, and the lives of every person that calls Emerge Church home. And Father, we know that you have a plan to reach this city and that you have called us to be a part of it. And Lord, I just pray today that as we hear this message, Father, that it will spark a fire and a passion in our heart, Father, for you to live a life that pleases you, to live the plans, God, that you have for our lives, Father, so that others can experience your goodness and your glory. So, Lord, today, be with us as this message is being shared. Lord, help me to share it, God, to be a voice of encouragement and a voice of inspiration, Father. God, I just pray for an awakening to take place in our church today. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. By the way, thank you to everyone who's been praying for me. I have been just fighting this little sickness thing, and I went back and listened to the message from Sunday, and man, that sounded rough. I don't know how you guys made it through, but that was rough. In fact, I was like, man, I sound bad. And so thank you for praying. I feel a million times better today. And so hopefully today I can just really, really bring it. Am I right? Y'all want me to bring it? All right, let's bring it. All right, so last week we talked about how God uses the church and this great commission. He uses it to grow us bigger than ourselves. And we covered what our mission statement was for a church, that we lead people to follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their life. And a lot of times when you hear these mission statements, especially for an organization, it seems like a plaque that's on the wall, but this isn't something that's just on a wall. This is a reality of the assignment that God has given us as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because this is the great commission. And God said, look, I love you so much that I will include you into this mission, even though you're not all perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't perfect. Come on, tell them that. They need to hear it from somebody today. You ain't perfect. And aren't you glad they're not? Because if they were perfect, we couldn't hang with them. In fact, did you know, I don't know if y'all know this, but Emerge Church is not perfect. Let me hear a good amen. Amen. Somebody just got a little too enthusiastic about that. We're not perfect. And sometimes we go into this idea that everybody has to be perfect. Everything needs to be just right. And I see God using imperfect people all the time. And God chose to give this great commission to some imperfect people because God had a lot of imperfect people that he was trying to reach. And he knew that there would be some people that could speak into some imperfect people's life if he used the imperfect people to do it. Come on, I mean, you're feeling a lot better about this thing. Now, if you think you're perfect in here, you got a problem with most of this. And we're praying for you because that's spirit of pride. And so anyway, let's get back to the message. Okay. So today what I want to do is I'm going to use this sermon today to give you a picture of who Emerge Church is, who we are. And this is so important because I think one of the things that people struggle with the most is trying to figure out who they are. A lot of times we know who we're supposed to be for the different roles that we have to accomplish. Like as a mom, I think there's a struggle because we know who we have to be as a mom, but a lot of times in that role of trying to be that mom, be that dad, be that person at work, we lose who we are. Mm-hmm. We lose some of our values. We lose some of the things that we enjoy in our life. And in fact, we also lose grip on some things that God has planted in us, some gifts, some talents, some assignments, some dreams that I believe that God has put in us. Because we are so on the go with all these different things, we don't have time to give the attention that is needed to these necessary areas of our life. And we lose ourselves to things that are good, and we miss out on things that are great.
Right.
Come on. We miss out on some great things because God's plan for us is great. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
Come on, do you really, really believe it, or is that just something that we say all the time? God's plan for your life is great.
Yes.
It is an awesome plan. And maybe today you just feel like this is the hand that has been dealt to you. But I want you to know that God isn't finished with the story of your life.
Amen.
You still have breath. You still have a chance to do some amazing things. And even though the past looked a little sketchy, it doesn't mean that right now and what God has for you is going to be that bad. Amen?
Amen?
God's got a good plan for you. Help me preach it. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got a good plan for you.
God's got a good plan.
Tell you, I don't know. Maybe y'all should have ate king cake before church. If you get good today with some of these responses and I'll know who you are, I might hand deliver this king cake to you. That might motivate you. So in this story, Peter and John, who I would assume, because they're referenced so often, I would assume they're the two key disciples amongst all these guys, okay? And they're probably, I guess you would say, like the leaders of this whole group. And they're on their way to this prayer meeting. Let's just say they're on their way to church. And as they're approaching, they see this lame man that is just brought to the door of this church building every day And I assume they've seen him before. And so they're going into church, and this man, because it's a crowd that is drawing, he would sit and beg for money because he was in a state where, you know, physically he was unable. And because he was unable to do things physically, it put him in a financial state and he needed help. And I guess he assumed that if he sat at the gate, these were probably the generous people because they're going to church. Am I right? And so he just kind of sat there, and people would just go into the church building every day. But there's this one day where it was different, because now this, not just going into church, passing by, bro, got nothing for you, bro, but this day there's a stop. Have you ever reached a point in your life where there was a stoppage? Yes. Now I'm not just talking about because your car broke down and you were in the line at Chick-fil-A at 12:03 p.m. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's a terrible feeling. I've seen it happen before, and everybody's just like, get out the way. This is Chick-fil-A. We keep things moving. I don't mean to promote the Christian chicken, but we all go there, and we all know we do. Okay? So this ain't a commercial. This is just what we do. Okay? But have you ever had a time in your life where it just seems like things came to a stop for a moment of realization?
Yeah.
Where it's like, wait a minute here. There's a possibility that in the course of my everyday life, I may have missed something. And I feel like this is what is happening here. Now, this is what gets me about this story. And this is what I've been thinking about. Someone would bring this man every week to this church building. I don't know if they stayed with him or if it was just a drop off and they left. I don't know, but I feel like that's a little bit rude just to drop someone off, especially if they're lame, and leave them. Just saying, when I read the Bible, this is the kind of stuff I see, and it kind of makes me a little fâché. That's anger if you're Cajun, okay? I get a little angry about it. It's like, how do you just leave somebody there? They're lame. Like, stick with a brother. Yeah. Am I right? And then the next part of it is, why would they never bring him in? Like, what if it's cold outside? And I know some of you people are like, this dude is losing his mind. This is what I think of whenever I read these stories, though. Like, why would they just leave him outside? Like, can you imagine? Like, today it's a little bit warmer, but like, if it's like 28 degrees outside, somebody bring the dude in and get him some coffee. And we don't see this in this story, and it makes me a little angry. Because all someone had to do was help the guy in, like help a brother out. And then I started thinking about this. These disciples are going there every day, like the guys that walk with Jesus. How could they not stop and help the guy out? I mean, you getting angry with me? You feeling my passion? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is the problem here? I don't know. Maybe they went in and got him a bagel and brought it out. I don't know. It doesn't say. And maybe I'm reading a whole lot more into it than what needs to be read into it. But I have a problem with this, because this man had a legitimate need. Now, let's take it a step further, okay? Because this man in his physical state is, he's unable to work. And so obviously he has a financial problem. And so he's sitting at the door of the church, hoping for someone to come along that will help fix his financial dilemma. This is really what's going on here. He's sitting at the gate waiting, hoping that somebody's going to come along and drop something in his bucket that's going to take care of it all. Can you imagine? Can you see how this guy can be in this state? Now, he has gotten to the point to where he has seen that his only hope is what somebody could put in his bucket. This is the point that he has gotten to, because this has become the routine of his life. And he would sit there and just wait, hoping someone would come along and give him something that would fix his financial dilemma. However, just because that one part of his life was fixed doesn't mean that everything in his life was right. Are you grabbing this? And so when you see the story about Peter and John, and some of you, it may make a little bit angry, because how could they not just give the guy some money? Like, think about it. Like, why can't you just help a brother out? Like, it's a GoFundMe. Give the guy some money. Drop a five on him and move on about your business. But evidently, they didn't have any money. But they had something that they knew they can give. Now, I have to rewind for you a second here, because we're in Acts chapter 3. And Acts chapter 3 is an incredible chapter, but if you don't read Acts chapter 2, you miss out on something that is key that's going to set up what's going to happen in Acts chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way in through the end of Acts and still to this day today. Because it was that day where the Holy Spirit, God sent the Holy Spirit to be poured out, and that was actually the birth of the church. And so the church is birthed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now these ordinary people have something extraordinary that is moving in their lives that gives them vision to be able to see things differently than they've ever seen before.
Right.
Now I need you to stick with me today, okay? Because we're going to get to who we are, but I got to show you all this so that you can see it. And so they have this encounter with the Holy Spirit that is transforming these very people, like Peter, for example. Peter, although he is described as the most bold, we do have to understand that he fell right into the prophecy that Jesus gave him that he would deny Jesus three times. Like, think about this. Jesus said, look, man, you're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, no, not me, man. Yes, you are going to deny me. And Jesus, he saw it was going to happen, and Peter denies Jesus, and so he's got a problem standing up for Jesus. Like, this is the reality. Now, get this. Jesus is about to ascend. He's like getting out of here to go sit at the right hand of the Father to send the Holy Spirit to come down. And he has entrusted these imperfect guys. Mm-hmm. He said, look, I'm going to put the plan of God in the hands of a bunch of imperfect fishermen. This is what he said. I'm going to do. I'm going to give it to a bunch of guys who were arguing over who was the best. Like, who's in charge? Like, these are the kinds of guys. A tax collector that may have been a little dishonest in his practice. Like, these are the guys that Jesus chose. You would think that Jesus would walk around and look for, like, the highest, most educated, smartest scholars there were out there. And he found some commercial fishermen. He found a tax collector. He found some guys that were just hanging around. These are the guys that he said, you know what? I can use this guy. This is the kind of people I can do something big with. Takes these guys and he pours out his spirit in them. And this guy Peter, who a few days ago, watch this, who a few days ago couldn't even stand up to a little girl, now stands up in front of a crowd of thousands of people. And I know sometimes when people hear that, like, I don't want to stand up in front of 1,000 people, Pastor Wade. Don't tell me how to do that. And I'm not saying this is what's going to happen to you. I'm just saying this is what happened to him. A guy who couldn't stand up to one is now standing up in front of thousands and boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus. Perhaps that day he saw who he could be in Christ instead of who he was trying to be on his own. Game changer.
Yes.
Hashtag game changer. So now, Peter and John, they have this new confidence about them. Why? Because they have this power in them now. They realize, wait a minute, I got something in me that's bigger than all these fears I ever had. I have something in me now that is more fulfilling than all these statuses that I was trying to reach. I have something in me that enables me to do things that I never ever thought I could do. And this is incredible. And so now their awareness has changed because they're aware of what God can do in their life. Now they're aware of what God can do in other people's lives. And so when this beggar is sitting out there who's real problem was that they were lame. You got to grab this. He thought the problem was finances, but really the man needed a miracle in his life. They addressed the need that the man had, the real need, the miracle that he needed, because if the man can walk and if the man can move, he can go to work and get a J-O-B. Are you grabbing it? And so they said, listen, I don't have a fix for your problem, but I have an answer for your life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And everybody's like, yeah, that's good preaching. But the miracle wasn't finished. Because they just didn't stand there and wait to see what the guy was going to do. We prayed. We tried. We worked hard. No, what did they do? Grabbed him by the hand and helped him up. And then they brought him in. I love that. Because my dilemma that I was mentioning earlier, I still can't understand why I didn't just bring the man in the church. Now he's getting in. He's going in. This man is celebrating. Like that first song we played today. It's called Chain Reaction, by the way. I kind of thought y'all were going to move around a little bit more on that one. Because they were moving around up here. This man was really moving around. Like he experienced this miracle of God in his life so much to where his reservations could not hold him anymore. There was something that God was doing in him because there was something God had done in them that got into him. Are you seeing this? Like, because God touched their life, now they are passing it on. Now it's affecting this life. And now he's jumping around praising God. And it's affecting everyone who has ever seen him in a state of begging, because they realize now he doesn't have to beg anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
His life has been changed. But guess what? They didn't fix his problem. Because he still doesn't have money. But now he has ability.
Right.
Are you grabbing this today?
Yeah.
So this story here, it just really fuels my soul whenever I think about Emerge Church, because this story, I believe, is a picture of who God wants us to be. Because they told him, I don't have the money, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And what did they do? They reached out their hands and they helped him up. They lifted him up. Just let me put it in terms that, because I can tell you're struggling with it. They helped him arise. They helped him to emerge.
Amen.
They helped him to get up. The word emerge is an action word. It's a verb. It's not just a name, but it's an action. And it means to arise, to come up, to arise as from an inferior or unfortunate state our condition. This is why it's so important we talk about it, because I feel the energy in this room just completely changing, and people in here feel like, yeah, let's do something, let's go somewhere, let's help somebody out. Come on, are you feeling just the energy in the room just beginning to change? And this story, I really believe it illustrates who we are as a church and who God is calling us to be. So I want to break it down into a few points for you so that you can take it home and you can remember this. Who is Emerge Church? Let me say it like this. Who are we? Who is God calling us to be as a church? Because a lot of times we define church by, I go on Sunday, I attend a small group through the week, I serve on a team, and thank you for all of that. But if we do all of that and miss this right here, we're just going through the motions. And that's where we get aggravated, that's where we get tired, that's where we just feel like we're on this cycle of religion. But God has this awesome thing called a relationship that we want to be a part of, and it is alive, amen?
Yes,
and it's the kind of relationship that motivates, it's the kind of relationship that moves me. I can't sit still, I can't just sit and watch something happen. I got to get in on it, because God has done something in me, and I know what God has done in me. If he could do it in them, it's going to change their life.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I need you to know that what God's doing in you is significant, not just for you, but there's somebody else that your life is going to impact. And maybe you are introverted. Maybe you are reserved and you feel like, I don't do that best way. It's not what you do. It's what God does through
Amen.
You.
Yeah.
See, God doesn't check our personality to see what he can do in us and through us.
Good.
Amen?
Right.
Because sometimes God doesn't come about like an extrovert. Sometimes he comes about like an introvert, and he'll just give you a little whisper. That's because God knows how to do this thing. He created us. He knows how we roll. So here's, this is who we are. Who is Emerge Church? Number one, first and foremost, we reach up.
Yes,
we reach up. The church is people who are following Jesus. This is what that means. We are worshiping him. First and foremost, before anything happens, we are Christ followers. That is what the church is. We are following Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And because he is our Savior and Lord, we have decided to commit our lives to him. And so we are following him. We are learning his ways. We are worshiping him. And we are becoming more and more like him. So we look up. We're looking to him. This is what Psalms 121, 1 and 2 says. I will lift up my eyes. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Where am I looking? I am looking up. And I know there are things that are wearing you down, and it's causing you to look down in shame and in pain. But we can look up because we know where our help comes from. So when you're lifting your hands in worship and you're looking up, you know what you're saying? God, I need your help, and I'm reaching out to you. And that's why it's so important that you worship instead of just... It's hard. I know it's hard. But when there is help on the scene, call out for it. Amen. Yes. See, when there's help that has arrived, I need help. God, I need you. And so my worship isn't, God, everything's good. My worship is, God, you are good.
Yes.
And when I worship you, I'm inviting you into my life to take your goodness and bring it to my, I don't know if this is a good word or not, but to bring it into my badness. Because I'm a bad man. I'm connected to him. I'm in a relationship with him. What did it say in Philippians? I forget the past and I reach forward to what lies ahead. I'm looking up. My past has me looking down, but I'm forgetting about all that because there's a stopping point in my life where I realized. Are you grabbing this today? I realized, wait a minute, that's not who I am anymore. I'm not bound by that anymore. I'm not that kind of sinner anymore. I have the grace of God in my life, and now I'm motivated to move forward. I'm looking up. I'm going somewhere. Come on, who's feeling this with me today? Maybe today you came in here discouraged and overwhelmed because some things in your past, and it's making you feel like history is just going to repeat itself. Can I tell you, the past is over. It is finished. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That means it's done. And you said, "But I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling." But you got some grace in your struggle now. It's the power of God. I'm looking up. I'm looking up. So the first thing is this. Who are we? We're reaching up, man. We need you. But here's the second thing. Not only are we reaching up, we also got to reach out. A lot of times people get so caught up reaching up. It's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. But make sure you know what Jesus is all about.
Sorry.
As you make it all about Jesus. Because Jesus was all about reaching them. Reaching out. So watch this. Because I'm connected to him and I'm reaching up, I'm motivated to reach out. I need you to hear this. We're motivated to reach out because we've been reaching up. And when we're no longer reaching up, we won't be motivated to reach out. This is so key. When these guys were filled with the Holy Spirit, it changed their whole perspective of everything. Why? Because it increased their connection with him. In other words, God became a greater influence in their life. And when God became a greater influence in their life, it changed their perspective of things. In other words, they were able to see that God could do a whole lot more than what they ever thought that he could do. The key was the connection with God. Improve the connection, and it's going to result in your life. It's going to show up more in your life. And so because of this relationship that they had with God and the power of the Holy Spirit, see, this wasn't just a magic moment. A lot of times we think the Holy Spirit's just a magic moment in our life where everything just gets good. But I need you to know the Bible didn't just say get filled with the Holy Spirit one time, but it says to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning this. This is a life source for me now. Now I have the life of God flowing in me. And when the life of God's flowing in me, this connection with him, it's just like, I just got to stay connected to him. There's this power that's flowing in my life. And because it's flowing in, I have to share it with other people. I cannot contain what God has done in me, in my own life. I have to share it with others. So I reach out. We aren't content with just settling in as a church. Amen. We can't just become content with settling in. We see people who are in need of Jesus, so we reach out. How many of you know somebody right now that needs Jesus? Come on, let me see your hand. You know somebody right now. They're in need of Jesus. We all know somebody who needs Jesus. And guess what? We have Jesus in us. He has filled our lives. And the question is, what are we going to do? We're going to reach out with him. So watch this. I'm motivated by the life of God within me to reach out to those who are in need. So, but this is what's so important. We have to understand that reaching means stretching. Because it would be easy just to say, hey, you need to get up. Jesus heals you. And walk away. That's a little rude. Am I right? That's a little rude. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. He stretched. He reached out and grabbed the man by the hand and helped him up. I think this is why we struggle with reaching out, because it stretches us. Mm-hmm. It stretches us and puts us in some conversations that we don't always feel comfortable with. See, we avoid discomfort because we just like to be comfortable, and God has a solution for that. So God gave us the comforter for the uncomfortable situations.
Yes.
And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. Maybe Peter and John never helped this man out because they were uncomfortable around him. Every day going into the temple, see, God bless you, brother. But now that the comforter is in their life, they can walk in the uncomfortable situations and they're comforted.
Yes.
Are you grabbing us today?
Yes.
See, this is what's so important. God already has everything you need, and he will give you everything you need to be exactly who he's called you to be. And who he wants you to be.
Amen.
And he's given us Jesus. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And so in that places of stretching, watch this. In the place of stretching, that's the place of growing. And you'll be amazed that God will put you in situations that will stretch you. And it's your choice if you'll stretch. And it's also your choice if you will grow. And God will stretch you in ways that you never thought you could stretch. You ever went to a personal trainer? And one time I went to this personal trainer, like the first day, and he wanted to see what all I could do. I don't know if I amazed the guy or if I shocked him. I really don't. But all I know is when I went home, I was hurting. And the next morning I tried to reach up to turn on the lights in the house and my arms didn't work. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like... Y'all laughing at me like that's never happened to you. I got good calves, though. Anyway. What are they doing though? They're trying to stretch you past the comfort zone to help you to get stronger. People pray for strength all the time and sit and wait for God to magically give them strength. But I find that when I pray for strength, God puts me in situations that reveal my weakness.
That's right.
All the time. God, I need strength. So he brings me a situation where I just feel completely overwhelmed and weak. And it's like, God, what are you doing? Like, I asked you for strength. I need help here, God. And he's like, I am helping you. Because what is he doing? He is developing something in me that is going to last. It's a stretch. Are you willing to stretch? And for us as a church, we must be willing to stretch if we're going to reach people.
That's good.
Because people are far from God. So we must be willing to stretch past our comfort zones. We must be willing to stretch past our fears, past our stereotypes, in order to reach people that God loves. Are you willing to stretch? Are you willing to reach somebody that's different than you? Maybe has a different political view. Maybe a different race. Maybe has a different upbringing than you do. Are you willing to reach somebody that doesn't believe at all what you believe? Are you willing to sit in conversation with somebody that may have a lot more information about a topic than you do and want to talk to you about it and make you feel so uncomfortable because you don't know what you're doing? No. Heck no, I ain't doing that. But God will put us in those situations to reveal what he's put in us. Here's what I'll say. You don't know what you have in you until you're in a situation that'll stretch you. I'm going to say that again because it was so good. You won't know what you have in you until God puts you in a situation to stretch you. Because it's in the stretching that you realize, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I had that in me. Where did that answer come from? I didn't know. Now be a good steward and learn what you need to learn and do what you need to do. But I promise you this. I've seen it over and over. God has come through and has given me answers. So many times you ask me questions, I'm like, I don't know. And y'all think I know. I don't know. But I know who to go to.
Yes, right.
I know who to go to. And he has a way of giving me answers. So the stretch is so important. And so we must reach up. And we must reach out. But then the third thing is this. We lift people up. That's what we do. This is who we are. We lift people up. We don't beat them down in our preaching. We don't beat them down with our songs. We don't beat them down with our Facebook posts. Come on, somebody. That's a good place to clap right now. I'm talking about you too.
That's right.
We don't beat them down on social media. We're helping them up. We're lifting them up. In this story, not only did Peter and John acknowledge the lame man, but they offered what they have. What I have, I give you. They had the faith that Jesus could heal this man, so they lifted him up. Now listen, if you don't believe Jesus can heal a lame man, you don't start helping them up.
That's right.
That is embarrassing.
Right.
For you and for them. I mean, let's just be real people here.
Yeah.
You don't do that to somebody unless you are confident that what God has done in you, he can do in somebody else. And they were so confident that they began to lift this man up. And as they lifted him up, his legs got stronger. Notice what I'm saying. As they were lifting him up, his legs got stronger. His body got stronger as he was being lifted up. And I started thinking about the power of lifting up someone in prayer. I know that's like old school now in church, because now all the church growth strategies is you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this and you got to have this plan, you got to have all these things and all that. That's great, but if we don't pray, what are we doing?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, we're not lifting them up in prayer, and all we're doing is bringing them a little meal. Meals are great, but pray for them before you bring them in.
That's right.
Am I right? Because it's the power of God that's going to change their life, not your good deeds. I don't mean to mess with us, but honestly, other people can do that. Other people can bring them soup. But who's going to bring them Jesus? Other people can fix their problem, but who's going to give them an answer?
Amen.
This is our responsibility as the church. Because if we're going to help them get up, we can't just fall into their trap of trying to fix their problem. And this is where it gets kind of like, wait a minute, Pastor. Hey, we're supposed to help people. We are supposed to help people. But I feel like a lot of times we're helping people get a fix instead of getting Jesus. That's so good.
Okay.
And so what we do is this. We replace something that's dysfunctional in our life with something that we believe is functional, but it really keeps them away from the very thing that changes their life. So listen, it's good to get people in church, but if they never meet Jesus in church, we didn't do them a favor. We just changed their schedule.
That's right.
I'm serious. This is so good.
Yeah.
Like, people got to experience the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's our job to take what God has done in our life and give it to them. So watch them. They gave him a hand up. They helped this man on his feet. And this is the verse I thought about. Though a righteous man stumbles 7 times, he gets up again. And I think about the people in here. How many times have we stumbled and we got up again? There was somebody who was encouraging us, helping us up. Do you know there are people who have never stood up as a righteous man ever in their life? Because they never met the righteous one, Jesus. And you and I, we have this awesome opportunity to introduce them to the righteous one, to Jesus Christ. So let me illustrate it this way. We're reaching up to him. We're reaching out to them. And this is what we want to do. Connect them. Are you seeing this today? I'm reaching up to him. I'm worshiping him. I'm following him. I'm learning from him. But I'm reaching out to them as well. I've got one hand up here, and I got one hand out there. And I'm reaching out. Listen, it works in your home. I'm reaching up to him. I'm reaching out to them. Don't just reach out to them. Reach up to him.
Right.
And when you're reaching up to him, you'll reach out to them and connect it together.
Amen. Yeah.
There's power in that. Come on, you can clap right there, because that is good. This is who we are. This is who we are. Church, reach up to God, reach out to people, and we help connect them with God. Here's number 4. Not only do we lift people up, we bring them in. We bring them in. And this part of the story was so exciting for me, because this man that had sat for so long at the door, the entrance to this temple, they made a place for him at the table. I want to say this. There's room at the table at Emerge Church for anyone.
Amen.
Right. Even the people you don't like.
That's right.
Because there's people that didn't like you either. There's room at the table.
Yes.
And we make room at the table.
Yes.
For anybody.
Amen.
See, there's this story where Jesus said, go out in the highways, the hedges, and invite them all to come in. He said, invite them all to come in. And he had all these chairs and this room at the table. And some people didn't show up. He said, go back and invite some more. Just keep inviting them. Keep bringing them in. keep bringing them in. I believe that when they sit at his table, they will taste and see that he is good. It's our job. Listen, it's our job. Last week we talked about it. It's our job to invite them in. It's our job to reach out to them. Not because we're better, but because we're just like them. We needed Jesus. And you will never reach a point in your life, I need you to hear this today, you'll never reach a point in your life where you don't need Jesus. You'll never reach a point in your life where you don't need Jesus. And that person that may have committed the worst crime, you need Jesus just as much as he does.
That's right.
You do. You may have grown up in a good family, in a good neighborhood, went to the good school, driving a good car. You still need Jesus. And there's room at the table for you, but you might sit next to someone that had a terrible upbringing. Maybe their parents left them. Maybe they didn't have all the privileges, all the resources that you had. And Jesus died for them just as much as he died for you.
That's right.
Come on, this is so important.
Yep.
Because this right here is a picture of the condition of our heart. And may we never ever reach the point as a church and as people in the church where we feel like, I don't need anything. Maybe we never reach the point in our lives in the church where we feel like I have nothing to give them. But may we always see that what God has done in me, he's not finished. And he's continuing it on. And what he's done in me is going to affect them. Listen, in your families, because this is where it's challenging. Reaching your family, because they know you. And they don't always forgive your past like Jesus does. It's hard to reach them. They have criticizing words for you. They have opinions about you. But when lives are on the line and all hell is broken loose, they'll probably call you and ask you to be the one that leads that prayer. At the Thanksgiving table, because they know that we should thank God for all of our blessings, you'll probably be the one that they'll ask to pray. At the work party, you know, the work Christmas party, where, you know, we probably ought to do something special because it's the right thing to do, you know, and we're in the Christmas spirit. They'll probably ask you to pray because they know that God's done something in your life. And I believe that we as a church can continue to shine, not by shining the light in their eyes, but shining the light on the way that helps them see the next step they need to take. This is who we are as a church. This is who God's called us to be. See, we want to help people up. And I know so many of you, you have people in your lives that need somebody. They need somebody to help them get up. In fact, many of us in here, we said we needed somebody to help us get up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that e-group leader that encouraged you through a time where you didn't think you were going to make it. There was that good friend. There was somebody you ran into in the hallway. There was someone that you were serving with on the course of a Sunday that encouraged you. God put people in your life to lift you up. I want you to know God's put you in people's lives to lift them up too. This is who we are. We're helping people get up. And there's a lot of people who are falling. There's a lot of people out there who are hurting. It's a lot. But I am confident because I know what God is doing in our hearts. And I am confident that if we're reaching up to him and we begin to reach out to them, we can help them up too. Amen? We can help them up. And we can give them a seat at our table and let them taste and see that the Lord is good. This is who we are as a church. If we bring them in, they can encounter the one, Jesus, who can change their lives forever. That's what we want to do. This is our mission. This is our life. This is what being a Christ follower looks like. And I have learned this. A lot of the things that we struggle with is because of the things that we're not doing. If we would be busy about doing what we're supposed to be doing, we won't fall into the traps of doing what we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
That's going to help somebody in here who's struggling. And I've learned that when I put God first, seek Him first, commit my life to the kingdom work of helping people get up, a lot of things I'm struggling with begin to fall. Marriages, you want to get some help in your marriage? You can sit there all you want and try to problem solve. Get a mission. Get a godly mission and focus your life in that direction. You'll start seeing things change. So like when you hear us talking about serve here, serve there, go to this e-group, be an e-group leader and all that, all we're doing is setting up opportunities for you to do something for God because it brings order to your life. It may throw some things off in your schedule because it's going to cause you to stretch. It will. But it will change your life. And I believe it. And the reason why I believe it is because I've lived it and I've seen it in so many people. This is who we are as a church. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to help people get up. I'm going to keep reaching up. I'm going to keep reaching out. I'm going to help people get up and I'm going to bring them in. Come sit at the table with me. Every Sunday, let's invite them. Come sit at the table with me. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. And when they taste and see that He is good, they'll never forget those moments in God's presence. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe as you're here today and I'm preaching this message, maybe you are away from God. And maybe you need someone to help you up. And this morning I pray that as you heard this message about who we are, it's encouraging you. It's encouraging you to see that I'm around the people that God has put in my life to help me up. I'm praying that as you heard these songs today, as you heard this message today, that you're looking up and you're saying, God, I need you. And maybe your life has you in a position that you're away from God. Maybe your decisions have you in a position to where you feel guilty and overwhelmed because of the wrong things that you have done. Those things are called sin. And the good news is this, that even though you are a sinner, because we're all sinners, there is a Savior. And God came to forgive our sins so that we can be in this relationship with Him. And if you do not have this relationship with Jesus Christ today, we want to invite you in. He's saying, come sit at my table. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, today, on your 7-year anniversary of your church, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to live out the plan that He has for me. I want to live this life that you are talking about. If you're here today, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I am away from God. Anyone else? I'm away from God. And today, this is just a homecoming. It's a homecoming. Anyone else? I am away from God. Love it. I want to lead us in this prayer. And I want you to know this prayer never ever gets old. I love praying this prayer. Because I know every time we pray it, it's making a change in somebody's life. Will you repeat it after me? Say, Dear Lord, thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Sending your son Jesus.
Sending your son Jesus.
To reach out.
To reach out.
To a sinner like me.
To a sinner like me.
Today, I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
And to wash me clean.
Of every sin
and everything I've ever done
that is wrong
and that is displeasing to you.
And
I make the choice today.
I
choose to follow you.
I
choose to make you my Lord
and my Savior.
And I receive you into my life. I surrender all of me
to all of you.
And I thank you now that you're making me a new person.
That you're making me
you're erasing my sins.
You're erasing
giving me a fresh start.
Giving me a fresh start.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I want you to put your hands.